May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 727. Oh, that I knew the secret place where I might find my God. I'd spread my wants before his face and pour my woes abroad. Hymn 727.
To read the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marvelled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities, and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marvelled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a great way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, we plead for thy help here in thy house this evening. Do enable us to worship thee. Lord, we cannot of ourselves. We do need thy Holy Spirit. Oh, do grant thy Spirit in the name of thy Son. Lord, oh, come and save us. Lord, all salvation is wrought in thy people's experience by thy Spirit. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Lord, quicken those dead in sins, convince of sin, lead to Christ, indite living prayer in the heart, reveal the Lord Jesus. Oh, grant to thy people the spirit of adoption, they may know that Christ is theirs, and they are his. Oh, Lord, we do pray, Holy Spirit, thou would shed abroad the love of Christ in our hearts. Cast out sin. Oh, soften the hard heart. Lord, create in us a clean heart. Wash us thoroughly. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Do in the hidden parts make us to know wisdom. Thou art wisdom, Lord. Oh, Lord, then we do pray to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, we may know thee in our hearts. O Lord, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, do grant that believing in the heart. Lord, we are fools and slow of heart to believe. But Lord, do for us what thou didst for those two. Make our hearts burn within us. Oh, reveal thyself. Change the sorrow into joy. Turn our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Lord, forgive our sins. They are countless. Lord, we cannot reckon them up, but thou reckonest them up. Oh, we do pray, forgive them all. Let not one sin remain. For if one sin remain, we're lost. Oh, what a great redemption we need. What a great cleansing we need. Lord, in ourselves we're nothing but sin. One hymn writer describes us well, a lifeless lump of loathsome sin. Lord, canst thou look upon such? Thou sayest thou canst. And we hope and trust, oh Lord, and if we are deceived, do undeceive us. Some of us have been looked upon by thee, even when we were polluted in our own blood, cast out into the open field, not salted at all nor swaddled at all. Oh, look upon us again. Lord, oh, we do pray, hide not thy face from us. Turn us again, O Lord, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord, we pray, do also subdue the power of iniquity in us. Oh, we do pray, thy promise may be fulfilled in us. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. Oh, may it be so this evening. May it be so forever. Lord, help thy people. Satisfy the longing soul. Fill the hungry with good things. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how each has come. Hear the prayer of the destitute. Thou said thou wilt. O Lord, hear the groaning of the prisoner. Thou said in thy word thou dost hear that groaning. O Lord, help thy people. Lord, that complete help they need. For thee to do everything for them and be everything to them. Lord, oh, we do pray that thou wouldst help thy people to believe. Lord, those whom thou hast caused to believe in God, oh, do favour them to believe in thee, Lord Jesus, as thou didst say, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Lord, help those who are bowed down beneath many cares, spiritual and temporal. Lord, help those who are careful and troubled about many things. Help those, Lord, who come oppressed with this day's noise and toil and care. Oh, help those buffeted by the adversary. Help those knowing the plague of their own heart. Lord, help those in deep need this evening. Lord, help those who feel to be unable to pray. Lord, help them to pray. And help those, Lord, that are tempted to give up prayer. Help them to continue to pray without ceasing. Help those, Lord, that are greatly tried. Lord, Oh, sustain them, we pray. Thou said, even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lord, help those who are feelingly lost. Oh, come this evening, Lord, and save that which was lost. Oh, Lord Jesus, thou blessed shepherd of thy sheep and of thy lambs. Oh, Lord, come and seek and find us. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Lord, we pray for those in weakness of body, the sick and the afflicted. Oh, we seek for them thy merciful healing according to thy will. That grace sufficient where the affliction must remain. Lord, those blessed glimpses by faith of the King in his beauty, the land that is a very far off, to those thy people who are being brought down by thee to their journey's end. Oh, may by faith they be favoured to realise, though it is a bringing down in the body, Lord, that bringing up. Oh, Lord, prepare us, we pray, for that solemn hour and article of death. Prepare us to stand before thee the moment after death. Lord, we pray. In Christ's obedience clothed, and wash me in his blood, so may I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. But Lord, we pray, Lord, be with us in life. Oh Lord, surely then it will be well when we come to die. And Lord, we long to know it is well now. And Lord, if thou art with us, it is. Give that faith, Lord, to believe it when thou dost hide thy face. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with them. The Lord, that word speaks of them eating the fruit of their doings. O Lord, if we should eat the fruit of our doings in the flesh, it will not be well with us. We receive the due reward of our deeds. Oh, do grant thy own working in us, that may be those doings, thy doings in us, Lord, that repentance, that confession, that begging mercy, that seeking thee, that asking, that knocking, that looking to thee, that waiting upon thee, that trusting in thee. Lord, surely there shall be of eating of the fruit of these doings by thy people. It's all thy doing, Lord. Without thee we can do nothing. Oh, leave us then not without thee. We pray, Lord. Oh, do then help us. Grant us a thankful heart. Thy mercies are beyond recounting. We cannot reckon up the number of them. Truly they are countless as the sand. For thy watchful care over us, for every crumb of food we have, every sip of water, every breath of air we draw, thy mercy. Lord, every beat of our heart. Lord, the abundance of thy providence, thy provision, in remembrance, Lord, of thy deliverances, in remembrance, Lord, of any word thou hast spoken to us, any glimpse thou hast given us of thyself. Lord, thy word, thy unspeakable gift, thy dear Son, thy Holy Spirit. Lord, oh, do help us to feel truly thankful. Lord, forgive all murmurings of our heart. Lord, forgive all dissatisfaction that is sinful. There is a dissatisfaction that is right, surely, Lord. The hymn writer speaks of it. It cannot here contented live on all the dainties earth can give. Their souls can feast on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. But forgive, Lord, we pray, our sinful dissatisfaction, our covetousness, thinking something else would be better for us. Oh, Lord, forgive this grievous sin, covetousness which is idolatry. Lord, forgive. We pray for this people. Do bless them indeed. Provide for them here. Direct them as a church. Bind them together in the true unity of the Spirit. Grant them a living ministry. Bless their deacons. Guide them, Lord. Bless their labours. Hear their petitions. And Lord, we pray, let thy work appear here unto thy servants and thy glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Lord, that this place may be as a city set on an hill, that light shining, Lord, thy light, the Sun of Righteousness, arise upon us, Lord, and chase away all the darkness of our poor fallen natures, the darkness of our wicked, rebellious wills, the darkness of Satan's work, holding our eyes blind in unbelief. Lord, we pray, arise with healing in thy wings. We pray for the aged. Lord, above all, we pray for them, as their days must of necessity be now few remaining. O Lord, that thou wouldst bless them indeed. Lord, that thou wouldst show thyself. Lord, that thou wouldst appear in thy glory. Lord, to forgive their sins, to assure their consciences of her part in the Redeemer's blood, to take away that fear of death. Lord, have mercy. Pardon what we ask wrongly. Kindly make up in giving where we have failed to ask for what we need. And do come to our aid, Lord, as we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 712. Come hither, ye that fain would know the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Come, see a scene of matchless woe, and tell me what it all can mean. Hymn 712.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and his blessing, I venture to direct you to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 8, reading verse 24, 25, and 26. Matthew chapter 8, verses 24 to 26. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. It is particularly that prayer of the disciples that has been upon my spirit in coming here this evening. Lord, save us, we perish. There arose a great tempest. Shall there be evil in the city? And the Lord hath not done it. This tempest did not arise at the bidding of Satan. No, it arose at the bidding of Almighty God. And those tempests that arise in the Lord's people's lives and in their souls, they arise at the bidding of the same Almighty One. He causeth it to come. Whether for correction for his land or for mercy. My dear friend, you can't get away from that. He causeth it to come. Some of us have tried to get away from these things. Blessed be God, we haven't been able to. Why do I say blessed be God? Because everything that comes in the life and in the soul's experience of a believer, a child of God, shall work together for their good. Oh, to see what the hymn writer saw. All must come and last and end, as shall please my heavenly friend. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. And it might be observed that these disciples weren't walking in a path of disobedience. They weren't walking in a way opposite to the Lord, their master. They had followed him into this ship. Oh, how often our unbelieving hearts, together with our adversary the devil, will say when trouble comes, oh, what a proof of you not being a child of God. Well, even those temptations, even those fears that arise, the Lord causes to work together for his people's good. Oh, what a solemn thing it is to become settled on our knees. If we are the Lord's, he has chosen us and we have not chosen him. And he has ordained us that we should go and bring forth fruit. And it is by these things, as Hezekiah said, men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. There arose a great tempest. a great tempest. A great tempest was necessary. These disciples were accustomed to being on that lake. They were fishermen. Why was a great tempest necessary? Why? To bring them to the feeling sense of being a perishing sinner, unable to manage. Unable to manage. With all the rowing and with all the methods which the mariner may put in place to seek to overcome the tempest and to brave the storm, God sends such a great tempest. Remember, he did so with Jonah too. Because he will fulfill his purpose in the tempest, which is not to destroy his people. No, but to bring them to his dear son, to his feet, to demonstrate to them once more his almighty power to save. Insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. Oh, what a tempest this was. Well might they be afraid when faith is withheld from them. Or granted in such a tiny measure. Oh, what a storm that must have been. What a tempest that must have been. The ship covered in the waves. I think of Paul in that boat, that ship. All hope of being saved was lost. That's the place the Lord brings his people to, not just once, again and again in their soul's experience, in their life's pathway. In the prophecy of Isaiah, there's a solemn word to those who are never brought to this place. The Lord speaks of that people who are not under the fashioning, shaping hand of his, under the teaching of his Spirit. Thou art wearied with the greatness of thy way, yet saidst thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thy right hand. These disciples didn't, did they? They didn't find the life of their right hand. They didn't find that their right hand was strong enough to save them in this tempest. They weren't left to say, well, there's still hope. No. If they did, if they had, they wouldn't have woken the Lord Jesus as they did. They would have left him asleep, foolishly thinking to themselves, we can manage. A great tempest. Just to digress perhaps for a moment as it comes to my mind, the parable of the prodigal son. It wasn't just a famine that the Lord brought on that land that he went to. It was a great famine. A great famine. It was necessary to be a great famine, just as it was necessary for here there to be a great tempest. Insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. But he was asleep. That is, in his sacred, holy, sinless humanity, he was asleep. You see, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, he became truly and really man, without sin. I remember on one occasion in the early days of my ministry, when I was still doing a full-time secular job, on the Monday morning after three services on the Sabbath and journeys, early Monday morning setting off to work feeling so weary. Those words dropped in with some sweetness, and Jesus, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It had an immediate effect of strengthening me. Well, the Lord Jesus was asleep. But what does this set forth? What does this illustrate in the experience of the Lord's people? Because while the Lord Jesus was asleep, he was completely aware of what was going on. Because he is God. He cannot sleep. There's no slumbering of the deity. His eyes neither slumber nor sleep. He was completely aware of all that was going on. Now this sets forth in the experience of the Lord's people when they're in their troubles. And it appears that the Lord Jesus doesn't regard them. It appears that his arm is completely still. It appears that he isn't under their eye. It appears we're not under his care because he is asleep. But he was asleep. Before I proceed, I'll try to say one or two things as the Lord may direct me and help me as to what these troubles are in the Lord's people's experience. To try to draw from this account here, this text here, those things that the Word of God speaks of, that his people pass through, that may be represented by this great tempest and the ship being covered with the waves. A great tempest. Oh, how seemingly calmly and quietly a sinner is going on in life, until the Lord calls them by his grace. They had no thought of their sin. They had no thought of eternity. They had no thought of God. They were not in trouble. This world gave them all that their heart could wish. What he didn't give them, they hoped he would one day give them. They were contented with the husks of the swine to eat, contented with the vanities, contented with sin, contented perhaps with a profession of religion, contented as Saul of Tarsus was with being a Pharisee of the Pharisees. What a great tempest arose that day on the road to Damascus. Ah, oh, he's not proceeding now in a still condition, is he? When the Lord God Almighty appears unto him and begins to discover to him his sins. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. A great tempest. Conviction of sin then. A great tempest. Oh, am I speaking this evening Perhaps there's someone even here at this time in their soul's experience and a great tempest. We may, I believe, rightly conclude from the scripture that even after David had committed adultery and deceit and murder, till Nathan came to him and said, "Thou art the man," he was proceeding quite calmly. That is manifest by David's first response to the parable. "The man that hath done this shall surely die." The great tempest then is when God says, "Thou art the man, thou art the lawbreaker, thou art the sinner, thou art the guilty one." I thought this afternoon of the dying thief, that is the graciously saved one. We indeed justly receive the due reward of our deeds. Oh, that man, when that great tempest came upon him, he didn't just have the pain of those nails in his hands and in his feet. That must have been terrible. But he had the pain of his sins on his conscience. We indeed justly receive the due reward of our deeds. To see sin smarts but slightly. To own with lip confession is easier still, but oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. And you see, it's a great tempest because it's the wind of God. The wind of God. Man can't do it. Oh, perhaps those of you that know something of this great tempest, how you've proved it's God's tempest. Your parents, perhaps, they faithfully warned you of your sin. Your minister faithfully warned you of your sin. You heard it Sunday after Sunday, till the time, the Lord's time came, and he blew upon you. And all your righteousnesses were seen to be as filthy rags. Guilt. Oh, what a tempest when one word after another of the Lord's comes into a poor sinner's soul. One sentence after another from the Almighty. And that sinner is in this spiritual equivalent of this ship covered with the waves. Covered with the waves. Perhaps, it may not always be so, but sometimes in the Lord's dealings with these people, there are also those outward troubles. That is, those temporal troubles. Sometimes the Lord, he lays affliction on one at this time. Together with the troubles in his own soul, he has those troubles in his body. And then perhaps in addition to that, an adversary rises up against him. And he walks that path the hymn writer speaks of when he says, "Sees every day new straits attend and wonders where the scene will end." But then there's something more. The buffeting of the adversary Satan. A tempest. Oh, my dear friend, what a reeling condition this tempest of the adversary brings a child of God into. If he was so able with his subtlety and with his power to deceive our innocent first parents, what defence have we in ourselves against him now? We are fallen sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. the tempest. Where is now thy God? Oh, what a blow to a poor sinner. God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him. What a blow to the poor sinner. Oh, the proof that you're a reprobate, the proof that you're a lost sinner. God would not hide himself from you as he does. If you're one of his, listen to what he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Have you heard his voice? Satan says. No, he is silent to you. Your sins, he says, they are of such a nature, they cannot be forgiven. You've sinned the unpardonable sin. There's no hope. You've sinned against the Holy Ghost. The tempest. There arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But then perhaps, as it comes to me now to try to speak of one, and the great tempest in the sea that has come upon you is that experience of the wretchedness of your poor fallen nature. What a great tempest that is, when the power of evil within you seems certain to destroy you, seems certain to send you to the bottom. In the context of this account that is before us here, concerning faith you shall make shipwreck, it appears, with such a wicked heart as yours. The great tempest. I spoke just now of the buffeting of the adversary. Oh, when he comes in again and again with temptation, and is successful so far in getting you to heed those temptations and fall in with him, succeeding in getting you to fall again and again, if not outwardly, inwardly. All the Lord's people's falls are not outward. There are inward falls. All the Lord's people's backslidings are not outward. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. There arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. Oh, when your troubles seem to cover you completely, when these buffetings of the adversary, when these troubles that come upon you from the hand of the Lord, they seem to cover you, when this conviction of sin is such, you're covered. Oh, there's no sign of anything good. There's no sign of any hope. There's no sign of any prospect of any deliverance in yourself, because there is no prospect of deliverance in yourself, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. I just venture to speak like this as it comes to me now. If we might consider this ship representing a believer's experience, past experience, as this ship representing that faith they hoped they had, those evidences they hoped they had, and this tempest that comes upon them, it covers all that ship. Every evidence they had is gone. every hope they had, all this sin that has arisen, this buffeting of the adversary, all this trouble, and the hiding of the Lord's face, it's covered everything. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. But he was asleep. Oh, my dear friend, do you know what it is? To feel that Jesus regards you not. It appears as though the adversary can do just what he wants with you. But the Lord doesn't reprove him, it seems. But you see, the tempest, and this that I've tried to speak of, as we might put it, a spiritual equivalent of this tempest that these disciples were in, it brings the Lord's people to consider the aspect of Christ toward them, to consider where they are in respect to him, to consider, oh, when was it I heard his voice? When was it I had a glimpse of his face? And you see, the tempest brings this home to them. Oh, if Jesus hide his face, if Jesus withhold his influence, oh, what a sad state. What a perishing state I get into. But he was asleep. Perhaps there's one here, and the evils of your heart, they so trouble you. And what troubles you more than anything else is that you believe that if you're a child of God, God would overcome those evils. Indeed, he will. But because it appears Jesus is asleep, it appears Jesus allows you to go on. It appears Jesus allows the adversary get you to fall. Jesus was asleep. And his disciples came to him. Few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. They came to him. They left everything they were doing and came to him. Oh, the blessing of the Holy Spirit intervening in our lives, in our souls, and bringing us again to the Lord's feet. Though he be asleep, though he be hidden from you, with regard to any comfort, consolation, the Spirit, why, he puts in this poor sinner's heart these cries. They had a little faith. Jesus, the author of that, the Holy Spirit, the communicator of it, the worker of it, the inspirer of it in a poor sinner's heart. His disciples came to him. All that the Father giveth me, he said, shall come to me. What is it brings them? Need. I often say that's the only qualification for coming to Christ. Need. And my dear friend, that need is great. But it cannot be too great. Who was it they came to? the Almighty, Eternal Son of God, manifest in the flesh. Who was it they came to? His name should be called Jesus. He should save his people from their sins. They came to him who, because he is Almighty God, nothing is too hard for him. They came to him who, because he is Jesus, he is able to save sinners from everything that threatens them, everything that would cause them to perish, everything that has put them in this perishing condition. They came to him who is called Jesus, none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Now, this is the point. Oh, my dear friend, have you known this yet in this great tempest? They came to him. That's the Lord's design. That's the Lord's purpose. He says they shall come. They shall come. And when God says they shall come, nothing can prevent them. Oh, if they found a way out of this tempest, another way, they'd miss the deliverance. But they will not find a way out of this, another way out of this great tempest. This one they came to. This one I would set before you this evening, my dear friend, is the only way out of that great tempest, whatever it be. Because you're a sinner. And you don't deserve God to deliver you. You deserve to be sent not just to the bottom of the sea, you deserve to be sent to the very bottom of hell. That lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. They came to him. Oh, blessed be God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, one Saviour, one Redeemer, one who saves. His name is Jesus, for he saves. They came to him. Now, you see, my dear friend, that which I've just briefly tried to set before you this evening of this tempest, I want to proceed, if the Lord help me, to speak of how Christ is the only refuge for that poor sinner in that great tempest. Sin, the conviction of it, they came to him. He who was made sin for his people. He who bore their sins. Go back to the thief. We indeed justly receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And they came to him. Oh, the Lord, the word of his Father concerning his dear Son. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen from among the people. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. The shadow of a great rock in a weary land as rivers of water in a dry place. Oh, that cover, that hiding place from this tempest. The only safe hiding place, and this is the place these disciples by the Spirit were directed, and they came to him. Well, my dear friend, I believe the Lord shuts every other door. I seem forsaken and alone. These disciples did, didn't they? I hear the lion roar, and every door is shut but one, and that is mercy's door. Only one door open to a lost sinner. And how does the Lord show it open? By speaking his own word concerning his Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit into a poor sinner's heart. By the promises he gives, by the testimony of the Spirit of who his dear Son is, the life, the resurrection, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, his ability to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Oh, his sin-atoning sacrifice. My dear friend, when you're in this great tempest of the conviction of sin, God will see to it that you find no other hiding place. There is none other. Your sinfulness isn't a hiding place. That is, you cannot say, well, I can't help sinning. That's no hiding place. Having the truth in the head is no hiding place. Doing good deeds, that's no hiding place. Knowing that Jesus is the Saviour of sinners, that knowledge in itself is no hiding place, though that knowledge sets forth the hiding place. And if it be at that knowledge that is granted by the Spirit, there'll be a fleeing to that hiding place. They came to him. They came to him and awoke him. And awoke him. Oh, what a work of the Spirit this is in that poor sinner's heart who feelingly the Lord Jesus is not regarding. Why, the Spirit, he puts in this poor sinner's heart that grain of faith, though he doesn't regard me at all, it seems. Though he doesn't speak to me. Though he hides his face from me. Though he seems to leave me quite alone. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Yet, this one is the only one that can help me. This one. Oh, my dear friend, and I believe the Lord will convince his people. When the Lord does hide his face from them, he'll convince them of the evil of their hearts that have caused him to hide his face from them. Yet that cry is put in the heart to awake him, as it were. Oh, my dear friend, and it sets forth something urgent, doesn't it? It sets forth something that, by the power of the Spirit's inspiration, moves the Lord. We read of Jesus standing still at the cry of those beggars. Jesus stood still. And we read here of Jesus being awoken by the cry of these disciples. They came and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. Lord. Oh, how this proves them to be under the teaching of the Spirit. They, with their little faith, that little faith, that grain that the Lord gave them, they knew that he was the Lord. That was something that the majority didn't know, wasn't it? And it's still something the majority don't know. Oh, what a blessing if he is your Lord. If he is, you'll address him as such, not with merely the name, but oh, your heart will be up to him. Your eyes will be upon him. You will approach him believing that he is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, that he only is the Lord over this tempest. He only is the Lord over your sins. He only is the Lord over Satan. He only is the Lord over all this trouble in your life. But he is the Lord also in this. He is merciful. That's the Lord Jesus. Pity joined with power. Lord. Lord. And he is Lord. The cattle upon a thousand hills are his. All men's hearts are in his hand. He's the ruler of the waves. Oh, blessed be God, he is Lord over all. All power, he says, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. My dear friend, if it wasn't, no one would be saved. But into his hand, the Father has put all power. Yes, he's able to speak forgiveness to the guilty sinner out of hell. He's able to speak to life, the deadest sinner. He's able to cleanse the blackest one, the foulest. What? Come now and let us reason together. He saith, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He is able to tame the most vile rebel. He's able to cast out devils. Lions and beasts of savage name take on the nature of the Lamb. Oh, my dear friend, this is where his power consists. In the salvation of sinners. Why? He makes them new creatures. They came and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. Lord, save us. What a cry that is. Has it ever gone up from your soul? I believe there's some of you, perhaps in response to that, you say, oh, I cannot remember the times. The Lord does. Lord, save us. You'll never pray that really from your heart to your feelingly a perishing sinner. We perish. And this is the point, my dear friend, this is the point that the Lord brings each one of his people to. It's not that it would be nice to know the Lord Jesus. It's not that it would be nice for him to put forth his power. No, if he doesn't, if I don't know him, I should perish. If he don't put forth his arm and save me, I shall perish. I'm lost. Perish in my sins. And I believe everyone that cries this prayer, when they speak of this, save us, we perish, they are brought to acknowledge they justly perish. Why? If they didn't know the justness of God, they wouldn't know they were perishing. Is that faith in the justice of God, that faith in God that believes he must punish sin. And he must. He has, and he will. But this Lord that these disciples came to, who they asked to save them, he was punished by his Father. That's how he saves perishing sinners. Away goes sword against my shepherd. Now, my dear friend, this is the Christ I would try to set before you. You sung of him in that hymn just now. Lord, save us. Oh, the Spirit show you him in Gethsemane. The Spirit show you him in that judgment hall. The Spirit show you him on that cross at Calvary. I believe really in the heart of every person that really cries, Lord, save me or I perish. God has shown that this one is the Saviour. Lord, because thy father smote thee, in thy people's place thou able to save. Because thou didst bear the chastisement of thy people's peace, thou able to save. Because thou didst shed that precious blood on Calvary's cross for sin, for thy people, in propitiation for their sins, Lord, thou able to save. Lord, save us. We perish. We perish. Oh, but we might speak of those other things that were mentioned in speaking of the tempest. Well, this one they came to and said, Lord, save us. It was he who could say, and no one else could say it. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in him. After 40 days hungering, fasting, the devil comes to him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. It is written. Ah, my dear friend, the waves, the temptation, the guilt of falling in temptation, it comes over your ship. You're covered with them. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered being tempted. The billows came against him. Oh, with what force they came against him, but they never prevailed. Now there, Lord, save us. Lord, thou he that stood against Satan, spotless, innocent and pure, the great Redeemer stood. Lord, save us. We perish. But then what is it to be saved by him? Isn't it for the Lord to do for us what he did for these disciples? He saith unto them, why are ye fearful? Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Well, you see, they were fearful because they did not have that measure of faith to believe that with Christ in the vessel they couldn't perish. They didn't have that measure of faith to believe that though he was asleep, everything was under his control. Why are ye fearful? O ye of little faith. He answers the question himself then. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. O ye of little faith. He doesn't say they had none. No, he had given them a little. That little to awake him. That little to cause them to beg, Lord, save. Now, what does the Lord say in his word concerning little faith? If your faith is a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and it shall remove. Well, wasn't that what this little faith did in these disciples' hearts? That's the way little faith moves mountains. Little faith goes to the Lord and says, Lord, save me or I perish. And God must. And he will answer that cry of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Then he arose. No longer awake, no longer asleep, but awake. No longer still, motionless. But he arose. When the Lord stands up for the defense and the deliverance of his people, he arose. Oh, I would speak of this like this. When the Lord shows himself, the arising of the Lord, The word says he must be lifted up. Then he arose. But you see, he arose to their deliverance. He arose to the overcoming of everything that was threatening them. He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. Literally, firstly then, his power. Oh, didn't the Lord Jesus earlier in this chapter speak of that great faith of the centurion? Because he said, speak the word only, Lord. One word from the Lord, the Almighty God. All creation must obey. The devil must obey. Your wicked nature must obey. Your quickened soul, child of God, must obey. All creation must give place to the subjects of his grace. Oh, but what we need, isn't it, for the Lord to arise and not just rebuke the winds and the waves, the things in our life that cause us such trouble, the things in our soul. Oh, when he speaks that word of pardon, and that guilt that was like a mighty tempest, it is removed. To have your guilt removed from your conscience, to have those stains, oh, to have all the anger of God against your sins assuaged. My dear friend, only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can do that. Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven. She loved much. To whom much is forgiven, the same loveth much. And then the power of that evil nature. Oh, for the Lord Jesus to arise and still that tempest, the wind and the waves. To still the surges of your soul and your mind. To still those surges of sin. It's like a fountain, isn't it? The Lord Jesus spoke of it, the heart, like a fountain. Out of the heart proceed those evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, and so on. Oh, the Lord to speak and to still that. Sin shall not have dominion over you, yet not under the law, but under grace. But isn't it in his arising and his speaking? Isn't it when he reveals himself? Isn't it when he speaks into the soul? Doesn't that still the wind and the tempest? Doesn't that produce a great calm? It does. What can Satan do? That one who I spoke of as buffeting this poor sinner to distraction almost. That has such success in hurling this sinner from side to side when Jesus arises and speaks. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, isn't this a brand plucked from the burning? Oh, you see, there's a great calm. The calm that only Jesus can produce. Peace, he said, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Oh, my dear friend, this calm is just a tiny foretaste of heaven. Heaven begun below. When by the word of Jesus, everything is put right. Because by the word of Jesus, your sins are put away. By the word of Jesus, he becomes in your experience your righteousness. By the word of Jesus, by the arising of Jesus, you behold him. And my dear friend, if you see Christ by living faith as yours, there'll be nothing wrong. With all your life, you will still have great troubles. The thorn in the flesh still there. But what did Paul say when Jesus arose and said, "My grace is sufficient for thee"? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Notice, in these three verses I've tried to speak from this evening, that word great appears twice. I spoke of the great tempest. And there must be a great calm, mustn't there? An ordinary calm, if I may put it like that in my simple way, it wouldn't do. No. There is such a thing as a natural calmness. There's death in it. There is such a thing as a spiritual divine calm. There's eternal life in it. The former, why, it isn't worthy of the name calm. The latter, it is always a great calm. Great, because he is great. A saviour and a great one. A great calm because he has made a great atonement. I spoke of that guilt like those waves overflowing the ship. Oh, my dear friend, your sins are so great. Think of the psalmist. Pardon mine iniquity. It is great. Well, this calm, it is a great calm. No one can measure those sufferings he passed through. They're known to God. No one can measure the virtue of that blood. But the child of God experiences it in some measure. And a measure sufficient to overcome the great tempest. You know, the Lord has only to speak a word and it is done. Because he is God. And the words he speaks are so wonderful. The words he speaks are so great. And the words he speaks to his people are so personally applied. A great calm. When he speaks to you, child of God. When he speaks to your tempest. When he puts your sins away. When he takes your fears away. When he stops the adversary from harassing you. When he casts out the devil from you and you are found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in your right mind. And there was a great calm. A great calm. It's beyond anything I can describe. And what a mercy that is. What a mercy this Jesus, who I've just said a few things about tonight, is infinite in every respect. His loving kindness, his peace, it is an unspeakable peace. A great calm. Oh, my dear friend, may the Son of Man be lifted up before you. Even as you go to your homes tonight in remembrance, in meditation upon this word, we try to say a few things about this evening. Oh, mighty God. Almighty God, covenanting to save sinners. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Amen.
God willing, Dr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Hadley on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 806, the first part. Christ is the friend of sinners, be that forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still, but oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. Hymn 806, the first part.
Yeah, Lord, do bless to us thy word. Cause it to remain with us. O Lord, cause us each, if it would please thee, to come to thee, as those disciples did, and to receive, as surely we shall, that same deliverance. Forgive what has been wrong. Keep us safe as we separate. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.